Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have a few announcements, and we have someone's going to, our clerk of session is going to make the first announcement.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to remind everyone that the photos will be taken this week for our photo directory. If you've not already received your handout bag, if you bring a canned good item with you, you will receive $5 off your photo package if you purchase a package. As a reminder, there is no cost for the taking of the photo, for the photo to be included in the directory, and you do receive a complimentary, what is it, maybe 8x10. But if you purchase a package so that you can share pictures with your family and friends, and you bring a canned good item, you will receive $5 off that. If you have any other questions, please see Mabe. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you're changing any of your addresses or phone numbers or times, please let Mabe know about that. This is a new announcement. Christian Ed will meet Monday night at 7 o'clock. And Junior Church, this announcement in here, I'm pointing this out because it's been in here incorrect. It's children 3 years old through sixth grade are welcome to attend. And it's all the Sundays except the last Sunday of the month. And I think you can read the rest of those yourself. And remind you, the stewardship luncheon is after church, and that is a free luncheon provided by Heavenly Custom Cuisine, which is a part of a rental agreement through our church. I hope that you can come out for that. Session is going to have a quick meeting immediately following the worship service in the library. Make sure I got all these. Session immediately following in the library for a few minutes. Okay. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, I love you, Lord. We'll sing this through two times on page 80. Continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us so many blessings. We especially praise you for the gift of your Son. Forgive us when we fail to give back to your kingdom. Remind us to give of ourselves. Teach us to be generous in helping others. Open our hearts so we can open our doors to our neighbors. May our talents bring you joy as we seek to honor you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us unite in our faith here at Glenshaw Valley and with other churches around our community and the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Forgot someone's name? Ask them. you. Very beautiful. Our responsive reading is Giving on 656, back of your hymnals, 656. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
If your willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does have.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. Have several. Point out to you as you peruse the bulletin and see some names. Diane Croyle is at home. Her and John had gone out to lunch yesterday, and I caught them when they got back in. Diane's feeling a little better. They've sent the lung biopsy off and have not received the results yet. BJ has had her tests, MRI, blood work, and all that, and is waiting for the date for the surgery. Right, and all that, so let's keep her in our prayer. And all these others, and Paul's doing well, and their daughter Debbie in Canada is going through breast surgery, so let's keep her in our special prayers. And Nancy Baker still trying to recover from her heart surgery, slowly but surely making some recovery there. And Art was out there this week, and Art has lost a lot of weight and trying to be in good spirits, but with the pancreatic cancer, you know that he's not doing real well, so let's keep him and all these people lifted up in our prayers. I sent this out on email and was trying to explain to some of you who kind of know who she is. She's been in the service a few times during Christmas. I'm not a real church person. I'm hoping that will change. Shirley White, which is Janet Hall's sister. Some of you know Bob Hall. This is all family, Bob and Patty Hall. Janet has been suffering, and we've been praying for her for, I lose track of time, at least a year now. And now Shirley's daughter, Sandy, and last I remember her last name was Friend. I don't know if it's changed. She's been living with her mom and dad, Nelson and Shirley. She was in between changing jobs and all of a sudden got sick. Didn't know what was wrong, took her to a Passavant, admitted her, found out she had bacterial meningitis and encephalitis. I don't know that she's going to make it through today. She's 51 years old. And now they have the family on antibiotics so that they won't get it. And I talked to Shirley for about 15 or 20 minutes yesterday. So let's really be in prayer for them. Shirley and Janet both used to come down and help with the luncheons. So some of you lunch ladies will know and lunch men will know them through that. So comfort and maybe a miracle. She is in a coma, so it's a sad situation being only 51 years old and a couple of children. So, any other prayer requests at this time. See if I had somebody else written down. Good. Don't you know we've got Bob listed in the bulletin now for you? Okay, this is Michelle's dad, Chuck, right? Up in Ohio, so let's be in prayer for him. He's already had back surgery and going to have another one. So let's be in prayer for him and all the family. Maybe. For the young people in the world, and especially in our community and ones associated with our church that are struggling, get them back in church and relationship, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Just pray for our church in general and things we're trying to do and everything. Let's go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day because this truly is the day that you have made. And sometimes it's hard for us to rejoice when things in our lives are not going the way that we would like for them to go and everything is not happy and we don't have all the money that we want and our health is not right or a loved one. But you ask us to rejoice and not to worry anyway, that you're going to take care of us. And we thank you for that. Help us to get that deep down in our hearts and our souls and continue to pray and to draw closer to you through prayer, through worship, through reading our Bibles and books about the Bible and about the characters within the Bible and the stories and what they went through. We know that life is not always easy, but you are always there with us every step of the way that you have told us and through the Old Testament and the New Testament that you will never leave us and you will never ever forsake us. We hold on to that today, Lord. Remind us, even through tragedy and trial and tribulation, of the good things that you're doing for us. So many things that we have to be grateful for, because we as human beings at times have a tendency to look at only the negative things that are around us, that are happening to us, and don't see all the good things that are going on. Help us to look for those positive things. Help us to look to our friends, our church, our family, to our God, to our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the people that help hold us up, that pray for us, that minister to us, that touch our lives in a very positive and unique and special and loving and uplifting way. All these things that are mentioned today, we lay them at your feet, asking for your help because we can do nothing without you. Guide us, lead us, help us, minister to us. Help us to grow in spirit, in our spirituality. Give us a deep hunger for you. And help us to move forward as individuals and as a church with a sense of power. Your power, not our power. Lord, thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Contemporary Forever. Before we sing that, I just want to make a kind of a quick announcement. I want to thank all the ladies and the men who come out 8 times a year and do the luncheons, which is a fundraiser, but it's also a good fellowship time for our people and for the people who come and visit with one another. And sometimes this, I think maybe that's the only time they see each other all month. It's a wonderful thing that you do. and don't have time to mention all the names. And I want to thank everyone that came down and brought items for the flea market. And I just want to point out a few people who worked with the flea market. Clara came down and worked with this so diligently, and her husband came down and helped. And Anna, and I think she's over next door, and their husband Joe, he's always with her doing, working. Nancy Teggy and her sister, and BJ with the bakery. Linda and Kathy with her husband, and Nathaniel. And I just want a special thanks to them for the flea market and all the work. And also want to thank, she probably wouldn't want me to say this, but Arlie Cornelius donated some tree ornaments with the picture of Glenshaw Valley's refrigerator magnets. They're very, very beautiful, and so they're being sold, and so that means it's all clear profit for us as a church. So I hope you'll look at them. I hope that you'll think about it, and that's just a wonderful thing that Arlie has done for the church. So our hymn is Forever.
Thank you.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful for you and all the gifts that you have given to us. You have blessed us in ways that we don't even acknowledge or even think about or recognize on a daily basis. But you are good, you are kind, you are loving, you are merciful. But most of all, you have given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We accept that gift, and because of it, we give back to you. Not just of our money, but of our time, our love, our mercy, opening our hearts to other people, trying to extend the gift of salvation to them. Help us to grow in our spiritual lives, that we can draw closer to you and to be more like Jesus Christ, who is our perfect example. Lord, help us, teach us, lead us, and guide us. Bless us, Lord, and help us be a blessing to others. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. Good
morning.
Today's scripture warns us against idleness. But idleness from what? If you read the scripture carefully, what Paul is trying to say is idleness from the church's work. And what's the church's work? And that's a focus on Jesus Christ and raising everybody up spiritually. That's the idol he's talking about. And anything else that disrupts that, anything that gets in your way, as we talked about last week, should be pushed out of the way. So please listen to your personal message as I read 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 15. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We are not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have a right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For when we are with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Thank you for the accompaniment. We heard that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy buddies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Kind of an odd passage for our stewardship Sunday. Before I start the sermon, I want to make a quick announcement. I was at Presbytery at Beulah United Presbyterian Church Thursday, so I was not able to attend the luncheon. We've normally had Presbytery six times a year. We're changing the structure of it to Presbytery, where we vote on issues four times a year. Then we're going to have branch meetings where we get together in Glenshaw Valley will be in the northern district. And then we'll meet four times a year to discuss issues and try to be more connected with one another. I'm very excited about this. I've never been one that really enjoyed Presbytery. You'd go and it's just been so large, it's just been kind of lost. We're the largest Presbytery in the United States, at least we were. I don't know if we're sure if we still are. But we're having a pre-meeting on Thanksgiving Day, October 31st, with about 10 pastors and any elders that want to come from noon to 2 o'clock. And so I'm very excited about that. I think this is going to be a good thing for the Presbyterian Church, a good thing for our presbytery, that we can do things a little bit different. Now, nothing special happened at this presbytery meeting. But they did, as we're working at our session level on the manual, Presbytery passed their manual and different language in it on some things. Sometimes I wonder why in the world they're changing some of the stuff, like the name of the pastor to Presbytery is now a different name. I don't even remember it. And he didn't even remember it at first. And then they had it listed two ways in the manual at first. And then they passed the budget. And Presbytery, like many of our churches, are struggling with the budget as people aren't giving as much and as many churches are going down in numbers. And several churches on our Presbytery, smaller churches, closed recently or dropped from two pastors to one pastor and some pastors going half time. So I'm partly saying that because us being a Presbyterian church in our area with a lot of other Presbyterian churches, I really think we've got to come together as a church and unite and really think about who we are as a church, think about our spiritual connection to God and who we want to be as a church, what is our identity in this area. Who do we really want to be? Where are we going to go in the future and try to connect together and become of one mind and one accord that we can go forward and find out what works? Not ask, what do I want as a member for the church? But the main thing that we have to do is say, God, what do you want for the church? And move from there. That is where the power is, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the hardest thing for any person to do, any church to do, is to move their self out of the way and put God there to drive and be the driving force. And that's what I'm asking the session, the deacons, the women's group, every member of our church to begin doing, to pray about it, to think about it, offer creative ideas to me, to the session. You can write them down on paper, whatever. And let's have a positive attitude, no negativity, and really try to build up and do what God wants of us. God bless you. Sermon. There's a silly story about two factory workers, Joe and Lester, who were talking at work one morning. Said, I know how to get some time off from work, said Joe. How do you think you can do that? Asked his good buddy Lester, who worked beside him. Joe proceeded to climb up to the rafters of the factory and hang upside down from his knees. The boss walked in and saw Joe hanging from the ceiling and asked him, what in the world, what on earth is going on? Joe said, I'm a light bulb. The boss said, you know, I think you need to take some time off from work. So Joe jumped down and started walking out of the factory. Well, his good friend Lester started walking out too. And the boss said, where do you think you're going? Lester said, I'm going home. I can't work in the dark. Now, if we could be as creative in our work as we are sometimes in trying to get out of work and doing things, think about how much we could actually get done. The quality of work and the productivity levels would skyrocket in our homes, in our places of work, and even in our church. The reason I tell you that story is that it would have been easy, like Joe and Lester, to come up with an excuse not to talk about stewardship and finance. Because when I talk to people out in the public sometimes, when I invite them to church or I try to talk to God, some of them who just, you know that they just, they want nothing to do with church. The first thing that they tell me, oh, all you Christians care about and all you preachers care about is money. And that just really grates on me. I mean, it really does. Because that's not true for most pastors and for most churches. It is true for some, and I'm kind of on the TV or something, and you can tell the difference. But no matter how much we explain that stewardship is more about heart, it's more about lifestyle and who we are than about money. Some people just close off the ears and don't want to hear because they do not want to be confronted by Jesus Christ, and they do not want to come out of the world and come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. While Paul doesn't talk about giving directly in this passage for today, he does talk about the responsibilities of every Christian. He encouraged us to not be weary in doing what is right, and encourage us to work and not be idle. He's really talking about Christian stewardship. But we've taken that word stewardship and we've taken it just to mean money, and it shouldn't. He tells the folks at Thessalonica that they did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. He's talking about himself when they came there to preach. So they did not part when he was with them so he wouldn't be a burden. Not only make a big deal about it, but that phrase struck me, eating else someone else's bread without paying for it. And when we take advantages of the ministry of the church and we don't help the church, support it and involve in it, it's kind of like eating the bread that we didn't pay for. And I'm often confronted with that, again, mostly out in the community, when people call me up and say, can I come by and get my child baptized? Well, who are you? They just want to use the church. Or get a call for a funeral. Have no involvement with church. Don't go to church, but they want a pastor. Or they even want to use the church for a funeral. And marriage. Where does everybody want to get married? In a church. But they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything. They just want the building, and they want a pastor when they want one. But they don't want to give financially, or they don't want to give of themselves or their time, and they don't want to give of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. In our book, God Knows My Heart, journalist Christian Wicker interviewed a man named Vincent Hall. Apparently, Mr. Hall is very well known in Dallas, Texas, for two things. He's chairman of the board of a major credit union, and he is a committed Christian. A particular sermon changed his life. His pastor preached on three different kinds of believers. And that's where I got this from. If, because, and regardless. Believers. So I'm going to look at it from three kinds of givers. If, because, and regardless. An if giver only gives if he or she is going to receive a blessing and a reward in return. This person waits to see what God's going to do first, then decides whether or not to respond by giving. I know some people go to some churches just because they're growing really big, and they go there because, oh, it's happening there, it's big, so I'll go and give. And sometimes it's a smaller church that's trying to grow and trying to do things that actually needs and would be of more benefit, but they just want to go instantly connect with something that looks and feels successful. Phil Connors, in the movie Groundhog Day, I think a lot of you have probably seen that movie, is a self-centered weather reporter who falls under an enchantment or a spell. He has to relive Groundhog Day in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, over and over and over. Each day is exactly the same way it unfolds for others, but each day Phil is given an opportunity to change himself. Finally, he has to come to know and love the people he wants to stain. He knows that every move, and he's seen them go through the motions before every day. Same for them, but a little different for him. So he sets out to care for the needs of each person to the extent that he is able to do so. What he learns is that his divine-like intervention can be a very thankless job. Phil's recording what must be his 1,000th Groundhog Day report, but instead of a mindless repetition, it's coming apparent that he has been honing his speech every day, and he truly has come to love the people of this small town. And after his stirring speech, Rita, his producer, asked him if he would like to have a cup of coffee. And Phil said, "I'd love to, but I've got some errands to run. Can I have a rain check?" And Rita doesn't understand, because to her, this is the first day. This is the first Groundhog report, but he's been through it now, remember, lots of times. And Phil just runs off. As Phil walks across the sidewalk, he looks at his watch, and he realizes he's a few seconds later than normal. And he begins to run as he looks up to see a young boy falling, as he's seen every day, from the tree. And he runs over, and he catches him and saves his life again. And he says, "What do you say? What do you say?" The boy squirms and runs away, and Phil calls after him, "You little brat! You've never thanked me. I'll see you tomorrow. Maybe." Thinking, well, maybe I'll just let him fall. But the viewers know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he will be there, and he will catch that little boy again tomorrow. Have you ever thought about how much you take God for granted? How many times God has caught you over and over and over and over again? Think about all the complex details you've come together every day just to sustain your life. Yet how often do we stop and thank God for all that God has done for us today? Tell you, and I sent somebody a little note this week, what I use in my worship: "This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it." I get up every day and I repeat that. For a while I'd stopped doing it, and I started back, and it's changing my life again. Because starting out with something positive, reminding myself that I need to thank God every day. It doesn't mean today's going to be good. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. Doesn't mean somebody's not going to be on my back, or a big bill comes in, or somebody's in a hospital, or anything, you know, come up with your imagination. Doesn't mean everything's going to go good, but it means God is going to be there with me, and that I've recognized and I'm thinking about God. Instead of going to a negative place, I'm starting off going to a positive place. Doesn't always mean that I end up there. You know, I'm still learning, still struggling. When we don't give thanks, when we just take advantage of God's providence and run off, we're eating someone else's bread that we didn't pay for, and we're being an if Christian. The because Christian, because giver gives because God has blessed them and wants to keep receiving that blessing. While not the best theology or the best reasoning, it's a good reason. There's a scene in To Kill a Mockingbird that illustrates this idea. If you've never read that book or seen that movie, you should. In the opening of the movie, we meet one of the central characters, Scout. She's grown up now, and talking about her youth in the South, she talks about the heat the length of the days, the crushing poverty that seems to affect everyone. And the man, Mr. Cunningham, is seen taking a burlap bag filled with nuts off his wagon and then approaching the Finch house. And young Scout calls out to him, "Good morning, Mr. Cunningham." And he greets her, and Scout runs off to fetch her father, Atticus Finch, as he's getting dressed. But Mr. Cunningham says, "No, miss, don't bother him." The Scout cheerfully replies, "Oh, it's no bother, Mr. Cunningham. He'll be happy to see you." Scout runs up the stairs and calls out to her father, and he appears on the steps and says, "Good morning, Walter." Mr. Cunningham returns his greeting and says, "I brung you these hickory nuts as part of my entailment." Taking the nut, Atticus tells Mr. Cunningham, "Well, I thank you. The collards we had last week were delicious," and Cunningham tips his hat and he leaves. Scout slides up next to her father and tells her, "Scout, I think next time Mr. Cunningham calls, you better not call me." The Scout says, "Oh, I thought he'd want to thank Mr. Cunningham." And Atticus says, "Oh, I do, but I think it embarrasses him to be thanked." The Scout asks, "Why does he bring you all this stuff?" And Atticus replies, "He's paying me for some legal work that I've done for him." Scout wants to know why he pays in hickory nuts, and Atticus tells her it's the only way he can pay. He doesn't have any money. And Scout asks if the Cunninghams are poor, and Atticus says they are. Then she asks, "Are we poor?" And Atticus replies, "We are indeed." And Scout wants to know if they are as poor as the Cunninghams. And Atticus says, "No, not exactly. The Cunninghams are country folk, farmers, and the crash hit them the hardest. And Mr. Cunningham owes a debt, and the only way he knows how to pay it is with his meager gifts. He's embarrassed by the payment and would prefer to leave it and simply walk off." And Atticus' attitude is different. He's able to take these modest payments and support his family while continuing his job as a lawyer and able to still help the people in the town. Mr. Cunningham probably wouldn't be bringing those meager gifts if it wasn't for the work that Atticus did for him. Similarly, we all know that we can never repay God for the gift of salvation, but we bring him what we have. Our offerings are often poor, and sometimes we're embarrassed to bring them at all. But we bring them because we know God wants them, and because we want to say thank you, and because God has blessed us. But I wonder if we would quit giving, quit attending, quit supporting, if God quit blessing. And that's the danger of being only a because Christian. Then there's the regardless Christian. They're like Job. They have faith. They give. They attend. They support. They reach out regardless. See, the regardless Christian doesn't have to like the minister. The regardless Christian doesn't have to agree with all the decisions of the session, or the deaconate, or the women's group, or the Christian education program, or agree with the color of the carpet, or all the decisions that are made. They support the church regardless of the changes that take place. The regardless Christians stay involved regardless of whether or not they are blessed, because they know that God is faithful no matter what. So they try to be like God and remain faithful no matter what, always seeking to build up the church and the kingdom of God and the people around them. Regardless, Christians give and participate and support and pray simply because they love God. They have experienced unconditional love and faithfulness, and they want to share it with others. It doesn't make any difference whether life is good or life is tough. They love God, and they know that God is faithful in the midst of whatever situation life has been throwing at them at that time, and then we're called to do the same. Regardless, Christian is able to say with the psalmist, "You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will praise you. I will give thanks to you, God, for you are good and your steadfast love endures forever." The good news is that God is God regardless of what we do or how we respond. God loves you whether you are if, because, or regardless Christian. That is done. You have your salvation. But God wants each one of us to begin to grow in our spirituality, in our giving, in our love for God, in our love for one another. He demands it of us. God wants us as individuals and as a church to move forward in faith, in unity, in love, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He demands it of us. I'm going to close with this little story. There's a movie, The Strait Story, based on a true story of Alvin Strait's epic journey from a small town of Lawrence, Iowa, Mount Zion, Wisconsin, to see his estranged brother, Lyle, who has had a stroke. With very little money in his pocket, both patience and tenacity, Alvin climbs aboard his 1966 John Deere lawnmower and takes off on a 160-mile, six-week journey. He meets, helps, and is helped by all kinds of people on the way. And one of the characters he meets is a teenage girl, a runaway. And the girl has run away because she's expecting a child. And she believes that her family will put her down and put her out and not love her anymore. So he wants to tell her a story, and he starts talking about his children. He says, "When the kids were little, I used to play a little game with them. I'd give each one of them a stick. And I'd tell them to take that stick and break it, and they would do so. Then I'd say, tie all these sticks together in a bundle. Now try to break those sticks. And they couldn't break it. Hard as they would try, they could not break the bundle of sticks. They could break the individual stick, but they could not break the bundle. And he said, that is family. And that is what we have to be at Glenshaw Valley. We have to start seeing ourselves as family. Family united by the blood of Jesus."
"Okay, God, I've talked long enough." "Check the battery this morning. I said, I know the battery's going to go out today. I just have that feeling. But we are family. And God loves us. God loves you. And we've got to act like family. Not a broken family. Not a family that doesn't want to see each other. But a family that truly loves one another and comes together and works together under Jesus Christ's lordship. His blood. His blood. Whatever it takes. We need to stick together, rely on God, become more spiritual in our walk. I'm not talking about becoming holy rollers, but becoming spiritual. United in our faith. United in where we're going as a church. If we really seek to find God's will for our lives and for the life of Glen Shaw Valley Church, I believe everything will be okay. Everything will be good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 112, sing two times, Jesus' name above all names.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.